What is your greatest possession? What means the most to you? What is the one thing that you would not want taken from you? And I hope that our answer would be our relationship with Christ, our Savior, that would not be taken from us. This morning, happy to have Gary willing to share with us. So Gary, if you're still willing, you can come up and have a word of prayer with you. All right, let's pray. Dear God, I just thank you again for your Son. Thank you for his blood that he shed for us. And Lord, I pray right now that you would open the hearts of each one of us that are here and to receive your message for us. And Lord, I pray that we would listen to your Spirit and that you would convict us of wrong and that we would be encouraged as well with the message. And I pray for Gary, your servant, as he shares. Lord, pray you would anoint his lips and help him to be able to be focused and to be calm and to present your message to us this morning. I pray this in your name. Amen.
I guess I'm still willing. First of all, thanks, Josh. And I want to just thank each one of you for praying for me this week. I definitely felt it. And the text messages and, there's no question that God has answered your prayer. So I appreciate that. The second thing I want to do is I want to thank God for giving me something to say up here, because this would be a long half an hour without something to say. So, yeah. I thought about it through this week. I remember so many times Phil Hollinger saying that life is a journey. And this week has been a journey. There's no question about that. Starting with Sunday, we came in here to church, and I was sitting back there in the back bench, and Brian gets up. I'm like, sweet, get to hear Brian preach. And Brian starts into his message, and I started getting the gut ache right away, because Brian's message was what I had at home. And it was on church, or the Church of Ephesians, and how Paul brought his message to him, and it was a lot of things about the city of Ephesus, and this was all notes I had at home that I was planning on preaching this morning for the last month. I'm like, God, what are you trying to do here? So I went home, and I didn't know what to do. Prayed about it. Just let it go for the rest of that day. And Monday morning, I woke up, and I felt like God gave me something. And it's totally different than what I had. So I feel really blessed by that. Let's get started. The message title is Life as a Believer Simplified. And I guess we'll look into that and see what God has to show us. It came kind of from a conversation I had with my cousin a couple weeks ago. We were over at the shop, and it was late one night, and just started talking, and we're talking about life and where God has brought us and kind of what we believe and that kind of thing. And a comment he made in that conversation was, you know, I think we make it too complicated. He said, I think we think it through too much. He's like, I think it would be just a lot more simple if we would view life as walking in the garden with God. I was like, okay. And I just kind of let it go with that. I didn't really think much about it. But when I woke up Monday morning, that's exactly what I thought of, walking in the garden with God. And I was like, what is this? So let's look at Genesis. It's where it all begins. Genesis chapter 3. It's verses 7 and 8. This would be right after Garden, Adam and Eve ate of the fruit and their eyes were opened. So if you turn there. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves loin clothing. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So what I want to focus on here is they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. Which raises a question, did God actually physically walk in the garden? Was God a presence there? Like God the Father, this is God the Father. And I believe he did. I believe he was actually there. Because first of all, they heard something. So it made a sound. So somehow him walking in the garden emitted some kind of noise. And the second reason is because Adam and Eve knew what that noise was. So this was familiar to them. They've heard it before, which makes you think that this was normal. Now just imagine with me for a minute what that would be like to walk with God the Father in the Garden of Eden. I can't think of anything more peaceful or secure. That would be probably the perfection. And the exciting thing is, we don't have to just imagine this, because that's something we can experience daily. And I'll show you what I mean by that. I've also often asked myself the question, what does life as a Christian look like? And that's a question I asked from the time I was probably 13. Do I base it on life that I've seen someone else live? Do I create a set of roles that I want to structure my life by? And do I want to build goals that I want to achieve? And then somehow, through those goals and structure and roles and things like that, do I achieve success as a Christian? Is that what it means? No, I don't believe that. I believe that it's a lot simpler than that. I believe that this picture is life as a believer. This is exactly what it should look like. Because we are all children. Whether we're old, Bryn Wright, whether we're old or we're young, or we're, Gordon Laurie just had a baby, and they're God's children too. We are all children until the day that we die. The only difference between the people that are in the garden, that's the other thing I didn't mention, it, is we're children and life is the garden. Okay, so we're walking in the garden. This is an analogy, but this makes so much sense to me. I need the basics or else I don't understand it. So life is the garden. We are children. But the only difference between the people in this garden is that some of them are holding the Father's hand. I think that's the most important thing we need to see. This picture has been in my mind all week. I found it Monday and I was like, man, this is exactly what it's about. So I was viewing myself all week as a third person. So as I come up to, I thought about it especially, I was driving to work, I come up to a traffic light right there in Millersville, and I just kind of saw myself from behind. And I saw me reaching up and just holding God's hand. I was like, that does so many different things to you. It changes your perspective of life. It makes you see the presence that God is there each day, every day, right beside us. So it builds confidence that you're not alone. The other thing it does is it creates a sense of accountability because God is right there. So every place that you are, where you're spending your time, the friends you're with, the choices you make, God is right there beside you. Is that really where you want to be? Is that where your heart is? And so you can use that as a reference point and say, is this somewhere God would want me to be? Is this somewhere that something I should be doing if he's right beside me? So that's the two things. And I thought it more clearly Wednesday night when we were here at Kids Club and Trolin prayed for me for this morning. And he used two words. He used the words calm confidence. He said, Lord, give Gary calm confidence as he shares. And I think that is what this picture gives us as believers. It gives us calmness because we are secure in Christ, and it gives us confidence because he's with us. Yeah. I saw this picture and I had to think, you know, a child won't just hold the hand of a stranger. So this is something that takes time. It takes building relationship and getting to know God before this can happen. They need to feel safe. And they need to trust that person. And if there is trust there, there is no walls. They are vulnerable and they allow themselves to be completely dependent upon that person. For some reason, as kids, we understand this. And we can get a really clear picture of trust and there's no walls. There's nothing that separates us from that person that we trust. But as we grow older and life brings experiences and they change us. They do. And as adults, we kind of decide that no one can be fully trusted. Nobody. Not even God. So that's something that's a wall that we have between us and God, is that trust. God's heart is that we, as believers, trust like these children do. So just picture this with me for a second. There's a father in a park with his son. And the son is only a few feet away from the bench that he's sitting on. And the boy is working diligently at something. After a bit, he comes running over excitedly to his dad and takes him by the hand. He says, "Dad, you gotta come. You gotta come look what I'm building." The father gets up and walks over to check out his son's new little project. After a bit, the father points out to his son that this sandcastle should have a little bit more support on that left side, or it could collapse. At this point, the son has a choice. First of all, he could trust his father's judgment, or he could become annoyed and continue to build with no change. And in my mind, the story kind of plays out that the father and the son both kneel down together and they complete this sandcastle together, the two of them. And what choice do you think that boy made at that point in this story? That same boy, now having finished the castle, so this is over here, sees a Tonka truck, you know, in a sandbox a couple feet away, and he races over and starts to play with that. Very quickly, he wanders away from his father. He doesn't need him anymore because he's got this new toy that's super fascinating. He sees the tracks that this new truck is making in the sand, and they look so cool and it's interesting. He's watching them as he's making them. But when the wheel breaks off of his truck, he stops and he looks up. And he starts to frantically search for his father, who is now out of sight because he's gone so far away. This is what happens when we become disconnected from the Father. Does any of this sound familiar? It does to me. Let's look at a reference. Get your Bibles. You can look up John 15, verses 4 to 5. It says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abide in me, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from you, you can do nothing." Apart from me, you can do nothing. Look at the beginning of this verse. It says, "Abide in me and I in you. That is not a one-way relationship. That is a two-way relationship. We are not just reaching up and hoping the Father grabs our hand. He wants to hold our hand. But sometimes God uses these broken wheel experiences I talked about with this Tonka truck to get us to look up and to see that we actually need Him. I had to think of that Sunday morning when I was sitting here. Because I was super confident. I was like, oh yeah, it wasn't even hard. I knew what I wanted to share about, and I went online and I found this message that really followed what I wanted to say, and I copied and pasted and changed a couple things, and it was going to be not too bad. But when I figured out that that was not what I was supposed to share, now I needed God. Men, are we running to God with our jobs and our hobbies and our passions? And are we asking Him to show us the flaws in it? Are we trusting Him to point out where we should be going and where we shouldn't be going? Maybe He'll ask us to focus our attention somewhere else. Or we might hear, that's good. That looks really good. Like, that is what you were meant to do. Good job. And that will bring purpose and longing to push into it harder. But if we don't feel that, we're just killing ourselves. Until we are connected to the Father through this kind of relationship right here, we're just wandering in the garden alone, like so many other people. We're no different than anyone that's not connected to God. Just hoping that we get it right. Maybe we might get this thing right. Teenagers, youth, this part is for you guys. This is your lifeline. This right here, this relationship. And you might not see it now, because I didn't either. But this is super crucial. Yes, God gave you parents to raise you and to show you, you know, teach you as you grow up right and wrong. But they cannot give you a relationship with God. It's up to you. Think about it. You have so many different huge decisions you need to make in these next couple years. You got friends to choose. You got finances, because now you're starting to get money. You're working. You're making money. What do you do with that? You have potential girlfriends or boyfriends, relationships that way. And in our circles, a lot of times as youth and teenagers, you got marriage, which isn't even heard of in a lot of other circles. So now you're looking at a decision of who you're going to marry. People are actually looking at, once they start to be your age and get 18, 19, they decide what church they're going to go to. What body of believers do they want to link into? You can't be expected to make these choices correctly unless you are connected to the Father. Without that, it's impossible. They're way too huge and way too heavy without a connection to God. Let's just focus on one of these places. One of them is friends. This is crucial. The friends that you choose today will mold you. They will change you. They will do two things. You will either walk closer to God because of your friends, or you will walk away from God with them. That's the only options there is. I'll say it again. You will either walk closer to God because of your friends, or you will walk away from God with them. Guys, you need to build your relationship with God first. Even you have friends from when you're a kid, but you learn to know new people as you're running around and doing youth group and meeting new people. And if you have that relationship with God now, you can have a father like this where you spend time with him, and it needs to start slowly. You're not going to expect to have a deep, meaningful relationship with God the first year that you become a Christian. It's a journey. It takes time. But through prayer and taking each situation to God, viewing yourself as a third person, seeing your life and knowing that God is there, your relationship grows and it builds. And he can come start to be a guide for you. But running around, meeting new people, there's really potentially going to be a lady that you think is just pretty nice. And that's a good thing. But when you meet her, take her to your father. Take her to God and say, hey, is this who you want for me? Is this right? And how do you know what he's saying? I ask that myself that question so many times. How do I know what God's saying? I mean, I can't hear it, and I just, sometimes I feel like it's right, and sometimes that thing that I thought was right wasn't. And so it's confusing, and I get distracted and kind of angry. I'm like, well, what is this supposed to mean? And that's life. It's normal. But you can't expect to hear what God is saying to you if you wake up in the morning and you might pop your Bible in for 10 minutes or read your app for the day. Oh, yep, that's a quick verse. I know that one. And then three times a day, maybe you have a quick prayer at a meal. How can you expect to hear God talking to you through that little window? It's going to take effort, and it's going to take living your life, viewing yourself as God's child. And the question is if you want it or not. Because if you don't want it, then we're not going to even go any farther. But that needs to be where it starts. And if God gives you a peace about this special lady, and you feel it in your heart that God's pointing you to her, let her know how important he is to you. And if she's a keeper, that's what she's going to be looking for in a man. To see a relationship with you and your father. And ladies, did you hear that? That's what you should be looking for in a man. To see if he's connected to God. Because that's going to cut so many problems out in your lives. If I would have known this and cared about it, there would have been a lot of things that would have changed in my life and a lot of struggle that I wouldn't have had to go through. It's got to be real. The most important quality, like I said, is that this guy that you're talking to and spending time with and thinking about a whole lot is connected to God. So we review it a little bit. First of all, take your friends to your father. And after you take your friends to your father, you take your father to your friends. Does that make sense? All right. And after that, trust what he tells you. If you start hanging out with people that you know doesn't feel right and you can tell that they're not comfortable being with your father, being with God, when you're there with them and there's a presence there, if you feel like they're not comfortable with that, it's only a matter of time you're going to walk away from him. It's going to happen. Kids, tell me how big God's hands are. Just one word. What do you think? How big are God's hands? Eiley, how big are God's hands? Are they little? How big are they? They're huge. That's right. Are God's hands full with just one person? No, they're not. Who here has played the game Chain Tag? Raise your hand. All right, so Chain Tag. This is how we need to view life, okay? Kids, if you view life as a game of chain tag, you're reaching out and you want to tag as many people as you can with Jesus' love, okay? And when you tag them with Jesus' love, you're going to lead them to God because you're going to show them
Jesus' love. And when you do that, they're going to say, wow, there's something different about that kid. He's nice to me. He's kind. Or she's kind. And she cares. And then that shows them Jesus. It leads them directly to Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do.
A couple of verses I want to read in closing. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. In the last verse, it's actually a couple of verses that I want to read, is found in John 17. This is not 1 John, this is just John. John 17, verse 20 to 26. This is a conversation or a prayer, you could say, that Jesus is praying to God the Father. Okay, so this is like probably the most important prayer that we could ever hear, I would say. This gives us an example of how Jesus would talk to God, His Father. All right, let's start into it. I do not ask for these only, which Jesus is talking about His disciples here. So He's saying, I not only am I asking this for His disciples, but also for those who will believe in Me through their words, that they may all be one, just as You, Father, are one in Me, and I in You, that they also may be in Us, so that the world may believe that You sent Me. The glory that You have given to Me, I have given to them, and they may be one even as We are one. I in them, and You in Me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that You sent Me and love them even as You love Me. Father, I desire that they also, whom You have given Me, may be with Me where I am, to see My glory that You have given Me because You love Me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know You, I know You, and they know that You have sent Me. I made known to them Your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which You have loved Me may be in them, and I in You, in them. It sounds repetitious, and it sounds like He says the same thing over again, but it's so, you need to get it. That's why He says it so many times. Can somebody tell me what is said three times in these verses? Anyone? It's repeated three times. That is too, actually. But what I'm looking for is something else. That's right. The world may believe that You sent Me. The world may know that You sent Me. And they may know that You have sent Me. That's something we need to look at. I think there's a reason why I've repeated it three times. So if we review this, Life as a Believer Simplified. That's what the title was. If we look over this and kind of see what it's supposed to, what I'm trying to say from this, is God the Father was in the garden with Adam and Eve, right? This was not Jesus. This was God the Father. Sin entered into the garden, and that relationship was broken. No longer did God walk in the garden with Adam and Eve. God then sent Jesus Christ, His Son, to die on the cross. And through Jesus Christ, that connection was made again to God the Father. Today, Jesus Christ is our Father. So Jesus Christ is who we're holding a hand. So that one day, we can be reunited with God the Father in heaven. That's it. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, for this picture that you gave to us of you as our Father. God, help us to see life and process life through this picture. Help us to reach out to you and run to you with the things that we are thinking about and struggling with and processing in life. And God, help us to trust your judgment, to know that you know what's best for us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.